Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is James Grunke, President and CEO at the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership.
James, thanks for joining us today for our annual year-end program. To start things off, James, we never want to assume that someone is fully aware of the mission of the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. What is the mission of your organization and how is success measured?
Thanks for that question. And you're right. We even find a lot of our own members don't know exactly what it is that we do. And it's not always easy to explain. But we think our mission is leading Erie's economic evolution. And what does that mean? It means as we're transforming our economy, that we're providing opportunities for all and that nobody is left behind. And we do that in a variety of ways. We do it providing networking opportunities for people. We do it by doing economic development, such as business attraction. We do that through trying to accelerate entrepreneurship. But at the end of the day, the most simple way is for people to think about open our door to help us open other doors for them, right? We really are in a helping business.
James, 2022 was not without its challenges. What is the state of the Erie economy from the Chamber's perspective as we close out the current year?
Well, I just recently listened to a report out from Ken Louie from Penn State Barron, who does a really good job of analyzing the economy. And I think the way he framed it is stable, but sluggish, I would agree with, right? Erie, fortunately, doesn't historically have highs and lows, right? It just kind of bubbles along. We'd like to see it a little more accelerated, but we still are suffering the impacts of the pandemic, and getting back to the pre-pandemic employment levels has been sluggish for our economy.
How do you feel your members are still trying to recover from the COVID challenges that we all experienced?
Well, it's really interesting to me that pre-pandemic, area employers would say the barrier to their growth is access to workforce. And today, that's even more so than then, but in a different way. There's a couple negative trends for our area. One, you know, we're having out migration versus in migration. So if job demand still is at the higher level and we have less people, that is exacerbating an already tight labor market. So the other item that really impacts that is also, and I think everybody talks about it, but it really, the disruption to the supply chain really does impact Erie's economy. We really are part of the global economy. And because of the fact that Erie has a higher percentage of manufacturing jobs than the state and the national average, that also is playing impact. So we have shrinking labor force and disruption in supply chain that is really the cause of our sluggish economy.
James, aside from the workforce challenges, are there any other issues or challenges that are prominent among your members as we enter 2023?
You know, I suspect there is. I've been the last several months trying to get out and meet with as many members as I can. It's always, I like to learn what they're doing. I'm interested in what's going on. And I think it's so top of mind on workforce right now that it might be camouflaging some of the other problems that might be underlying. There is no employer that I talk to that's not their challenge. I mean, I can give an example how it really is like pulling a string. So I recently had a visit at Sarah Reed. Sarah Reed has 45 empty positions. So figure, let's just assume those jobs are worth $50,000 each. Well, that is a little over $2 million in annual payroll that's not being entered into our economy that is ready. On top of that, they can't serve their population of youth that really, really need their services because they don't have enough workforce. So they have capacity at their center on Mill Creek to have 70 youth housed. They have half that because of workforce. It doesn't mean that those problems have gone away. It's just people desperately need of services gone away. So then they look at what's the other barriers. It could be transportation. It could be childcare, right? So it's not just I have an empty job. It's such a big snowball. And that story can be told over and over and over. And I look at it as really, this is money poised to go in our economy that has no way to be deployed.
Being a news talk radio station and being affiliated with Bloomberg, we have been hearing for quite some time now from some of the best economists in the nation that a recession is on the horizon in 2023. After meeting with our various clients on a daily basis, I don't get that sense that people are operating in fear as we enter 2023. It seems there's still a sense of optimism. Do you feel the same way regarding recession talks?
I do very much. I wonder oftentimes if we go into recession because we just say we're going into a recession, right? That everybody is acting that way. But I was just listening to a report on NPR this morning about are we or are we not going into a recession? And they really conclude until we have a negative job report, the answer is no, because the economy is actually not behaving the way it is supposed to. So the Fed is trying to slow down demand to help reset the economy, but consumer demand and job creation are not responding properly, meaning jobs are still being added. Consumption is higher. I mean, we can even look at the airlines. They're raising prices not because they're trying to gouge, they're trying to suppress demand, but the consumer's not responding to the market. So I think that's why, and people way smarter than I am are scratching their head about, are we really going to go into a recession? The last that I heard was slight recession in the second and third quarter of 2023, emerging out in the fourth quarter. And I think that's probably accurate.
James, the Erie County Community College is off to a very successful start. How has the addition of a community college affected Erie in the short term, and what will it mean for our city in the long term?
Well, you're right. I was a very vocal advocate for the creation of the Erie County Community College as really as an economic development tool. I had never worked in a community before that didn't have a community college, and I think a lot of people didn't understand what was missing. And we have wonderful academic institutions in this community, right? We have two excellent private sector universities, two public universities. We have a wonderful medical school and all that that brings. We have the Northern Pennsylvania Regional College, and then we have now the Erie County Community College. And so we have really a range of educational offerings to meet everybody where they are. And we're really blessed to have such a great educational attainment. What we were always interested in as the chamber was not necessarily for academic programming for the community college, but more for the certificates and the training and the maybe some of the remediation to get people ready to enter the workforce and be successful, right? We want everybody in this community to have the opportunity to have a family sustaining wage and have a life to thrive here in our community. And a community college is an integral part of that to be a success.
And James, I think you'd agree. It has surpassed expectations. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think so highly of the leadership there, both at the board and the paid leadership. I think the moves that they've made to bring education to all is terrific. I think their new property they own is a great step for them. I just can't say enough about them. While I think we all thought it would be successful, as you pointed out, there, I think in no quarter could somebody say this has not exceeded expectations.
James, let's talk more about the Chamber. In late October, Erie Homecoming was held in another very successful event this year. Can you describe the key takeaways from Erie Homecoming 2022?
That is really evolving into what we think is the most important community event that we do. It's a full day that if you want to learn in one day what is happening in our community, that is the place to be. We showcase 47 different organizations and what they're doing to change people's lives in our community, whether it be youth programming or we feature different cultural amenities about it. But it is, to me, the best investment of someone's one day is homecoming. And it's not because we're doing it. It's just because the unbelievable energy that comes out of it and the knowledge. The other thing I was really proud about this year is we had a couple area businesses step up and provide scholarships for minority populations. You know, these are expensive events to do. And I would say by far, this was the most diverse audience participation that we've ever had. And I just really appreciate the businesses that stepped up. We'll look forward to doing that for everybody. You know, if we're not in an inclusive economy, we just can't be successful. And that means we have to give access to the programming we are doing.
Just to quickly follow up on that, for those who haven't experienced it, and as you said, this is something that anyone who is doing business in the area should attend because it is a great reminder of all the incredible assets our community has to offer, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And, you know, I'm still new enough to Erie that I still see it with a very different set of eyes. And I think homecoming really showcases the eyes, what I see, the incredible passion and drive of so many to make this a better community for everybody. This year, we really featured made in Erie businesses and products to give people just a sense of what's going on. We're all guilty of it. We're driving along. We see all these buildings. We have no idea what's happening inside of them. And you go and you find out we're serving the globe from Erie in all kinds of fascinating industries. And that's what homecoming also gets to do. It's about the passion of the past, but it's also the passion of how we're going to move forward. And, you know, I'm always a pretty optimistic person, but if you want to go and in one day understand why it's so easy to be a cheerleader for Erie, homecoming is the one that does it.
We have had the pleasure recently to speak with many businesses involved in the Fire Accelerator program. For anyone in our audience who may not know, can you describe this program and your thoughts on its future?
Yeah, so in 2020, the former Erie Innovation District was dissolved, and a program that they had, which was a business accelerator, came under the umbrella of the chamber. And the basic premise of an accelerator is you're attracting companies from across the globe to come to Erie for some intensive training, but more importantly, to be embedded in the community to accelerate entrepreneurship here in the community. It's changed now, and as you said, the title of that program is called FIRE, which stands for Finding Innovative Recruits for Erie. And we, this year, attracted 9 companies out of a little over 100 applicants that came to Erie, went through the accelerator. Half of them already have opened up a presence here in Erie. And then we as an organization, thanks to the Erie Community Foundation and Erie Insurance for funding us, we make an equity investment into these companies. So we take a financial position, and then when they're successful and they have their own exit, that's how we're going to invest in future companies. And we want to invest in Erie-based companies, and we want to bring Erie companies to be part of Erie. And startup people are a pretty fun group to hang out with, right? They're really just trying to revolutionize the world in whatever their application is. And they're so smart and so interesting that it's hard not to be kind of excited about it. But we're now an established program across the country. We have a reputation now that's favorable. Let me give an example. Probably the two most prominent accelerators on the face of the planet are one called Techstars and one called Y Combinator. And we've had success that some of our graduates have gone on to these most prestigious. But this year, we had graduates of their program come to our program. And so that really shows that we're moving the right direction.
That's truly amazing. James, recently you held your annual meeting. Can you share some of the notable news to come out of the meeting this year?
A couple different things. We finally were in a position that we could really give a first report out of where we are on our economic development initiative called Erie Forward. You know, that's our 5-year economic development strategy we launched in 2020 that has really specific economic development goals, job creation numbers, capital investment. And we were able to report out, here's where our success is. You know, we got to feature the many different functions that we do here as an organization. The breadth of service here, I think most people are, when they learn, are very surprised, right? So if I could just briefly describe how we can help a business. We have a director of workforce development. His job is to work with area employers and try to overcome barriers to access to workforce. We have a director of entrepreneurship, who I just described. We have a director of events. She manages all the things that we do. And anything we look at professional is because of her. We have a director of business engagement. Her job is to get out and meet with 250 businesses each and every year and learn what's keeping them from growing, what's keeping them up at night. We have a director of government affairs that's really our advocacy role. So that to us is simple as how do I get a building permit? To us this year, we'll be hosting our very first Erie Business Day in Harrisburg that we're going down and advancing our agenda. We have our direct vice president of business engagement, and her job is all the traditional chamber functions. And then, of course, as I already described, our economic development efforts. So there is a team here at the chamber of 11 professionals that their entire job is to try to help anybody who wants to advance a business idea.
You just gave me the perfect segue to my next question. James, we're about to enter a new year. If an Erie business is not a chamber member yet for whatever reason, why is this the perfect time to become one?
If you want to be a part of an organization that's the only organization in our entire region that's sole focus is to advance the economy and provide opportunity and create well-being, we're an organization I think somebody can be part of. And as I said, you have 11 professionals here that are dedicated to this community. You know, our entry level into the chamber is $300 a year. What other business services can you get for that minimal of a dollar amount? But at the end of the day, you have to either one, philosophically support, say, hey, any organization that kind of is supporting our community, I want to be a part of. Or I'm also interested in what is someone looking to get out of a membership of the chamber? Just as like you said, we can provide access to almost anybody. And if you want to make connections, if you want to mine customers, if you want to find mentors, if you want just relationships, we can provide that. And we do things as simple as a connect for coffee to a speed networking to our signature events. And there should be a place for anybody, wherever they are in their career, whether starting or more senior at the end, like me, to have an opportunity to be a part of something bigger. So I'm not a particularly good salesperson on the value of the chamber. It's so intrinsic to me, I'm surprised that people aren't.
Let's talk about your business action team. Your business action team has helped countless Erie businesses solve a wide array of issues they might have. Why should a struggling local business reach out to the business action team?
That's right. So we have any one of us on the team would view ourselves as a member of the business action team, but we have two people that's their sole job. And it's really getting out throughout the region, right? Not just the city of Erie. In fact, the team is out in Northeast today doing a planning. How are we going to try to access some of that area of businesses to some of our programming? But it is as simple as my example that I give is, you know, I've been in thousands of businesses in my career, and every business could ask me one question: what are you going to do to help my business grow and expand? And my answer is, I have no idea. Let's talk about it, right? And it starts with just a conversation about, you know, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking? You know, sometimes people think their access to capital is their barrier, and you may find out that's not the problem, right? There could be other things. And it's sometimes just an outside set of eyes and ears to look at what you're doing and hear what you're doing and offer maybe some resources for a business to get where they want to go quicker and faster.
So, James, as you know, the name of this show is Business Spotlight. So we're going to put you under the spotlight for just a moment. What are you most concerned about today as the new year approaches? And what are you most optimistic about as we enter 2023 when it comes to Erie's business climate?
I would say I'm a little discouraged right now where we are, it seems, as a community. It seems like we've really taken a step backwards in addressing some of our racial inequalities. I don't know that we're experiencing the right level of leadership that we need as a community. I don't know that whether that be at the private sector, the philanthropic, or the public sector. I would say I'm disappointed the tone of the last several months of our community. On the flip side, that's also an opportunity for us. That may be my biggest hope for 2023 is that we identify and say this behavior is not acceptable. If we're not providing access and opportunity for all, we're failing as a community. And I don't like the words failing as a community, but you cannot be a good community without good jobs. You cannot have good jobs without being a good community. And that means an inclusive community for all. I thought we as a community made great strides moving forward at the start of the pandemic. I thought after the George Floyd murder that the community really stood up and said, this is an issue we have to overcome. And I don't want to end the year on a negative. I just say I'm discouraged with that. But at the same time, I think it's incumbent on leaders like me to say, this is discouraging. And this time for a serious community conversation that we're move out of discouraging into encouraging.
James, in your opinion, what do we have to be better at as a business community to help realize all of Erie's potential as we enter 2023?
I think what Erie has done over the last 4 or 5 years is amazing, right? The level of investment into our community is well over $1 billion in the last 4 years. We see continued investment in the community. And so Erie finally understood that if you're not going to invest in yourself, why would anybody else? And so we've seen the investment in the economic infrastructure. And now I think it's time that we invest in the social infrastructure to make sure that everybody has a path to success. And that would be my greatest hope, is we really identify what barriers are and seriously begin overcoming them. You know, we have things that are challenging, and let's not ignore them. Let's, I think, maybe embrace our challenges and say, how are we going to fix them? Erie sometimes forgets how many unbelievable assets it has as compared to other communities in the country. And the list is so long, and I don't even just mean a lake. Just think of the cultural amenities. I mean, we have a zoo, we have a Philharmonic, we have a Fortune 500 company, we have amazing independent businesses, we have amazing college students, right? It's just such a asset that if we could just nudge it in the right direction, I think we'll just see more progress.
James, I have to say, you have been such a big part in the resurgence of the Chamber, such an advocate for Erie. Our community is really fortunate to have you. James, we really appreciate you and your time. As we close the show out, any final words as we put a bow on 2022 and we move forward to the new year?
I would like more people to be engaged. That, I think, is a good process. We had a group of young people in our conference room a month ago, 20 young African-American men and women. Their only reason they were there is they want to look, how can I be more engaged? How can I be on authorities or boards or serve the community? That's what gives me energy, and that's what gives me belief, is are we engaged and we're giving people pathways to be engaged in our community? And that's why we'll be successful.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.